welcome back to the final session of the Next Evolution of Health Summit. It's been a delightful weekend. I've just been really struck by how the depth of wisdom, the commitment to really being healing catalysts, thinking integrally about human nature and how we can address all levels of our being in a way that really creates optimum health. It's really been fantastic. So if you missed any sessions this weekend, I encourage you to download the recordings. They're all free. We're going to keep them up for a while so you can use them in the car or at home just for inspiration about continuing to evolve the paradigm of health in the world and also in your own life. And now we're going to have some time, perhaps only with one person, but depending on circumstances, perhaps both. Norm Shealy has had a plane delay and is stranded in Chicago, and we may or may not be able to get him on the line for this time. So if that is not the case, we will just have the time with Dr. Christine Hibbard, who is a delightful soul and a pioneer in so many realms of integrative medicine and healing. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. So Christine is an educator, psychotherapist, and psychophysiologist in Boulder. She co-founded the Family Medical Center and also was the co-founder of the Kizizi Malaria and Healthcare Project in Uganda, East Africa. She's been on the faculty of UC School of Medicine, Global Health Department, Holos University, and she spent 11 years working with post-war trauma and conflict in Kosovo, Israel, and Uganda, and teaching trainings in mind-body-spirit medicine. So she's been a pioneer in the fields of energy medicine and energy psychology and has served as the past president of ICEM and the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine. So it's and now she's actually ordained as an interfaith minister. It's an amazing bio. Christine, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here and to connect with everybody out there across the nation. I just hope my dear friend Norm gets on as well.
Yeah, so well, it's okay. We'll have a good time just with you, even if he's not able to join us. So I'd love for you to just start with part of what we've been looking at this weekend is how there's a real new paradigm of looking at health and wellness and integrative medicine that's emerging. And so maybe share a little about your own journey beyond the conventional paradigm and what it was that began to shift you and what you've seen emerge as you've taken a look at all these other dimensions of health and well-being.
Yeah, so I'd love to. In my 20s, I was a biologist, a field biologist, and I also taught high school biology. And, you know, in working with the students, I noticed that pretty much that all they wanted was to be seen and known and cared for just for who they are. And, boy, they would blossom when that was allowed for them, and they actually felt that from me. Now, my whole before that, I was really interested in the question, you know, what is the nature of being human today? And I love nature, and having those years as a naturalist and teaching and working with the students, I took a personal growth seminar, and in that seminar, I had an experience that really shifted my life, just transformed my life, and it led me then to wanting to really work with people more. So I started a doctorate in clinical psychology, and that then led me to an internship at the University of Colorado Wardenburg Health Center in biofeedback and stress management. And I just fell in love with this whole new realm, this whole way of approaching medicine, not only psychotherapy, but medicine in general. So I then went on to set up I co-founded the Family Medical Center with my husband, David, here in the Boulder area. This was 30 years ago. And it was our vision at the time to integrate alternative health care with traditional Western medicine. So we actually then reached so many people who would not have ordinarily just come to a holistic medical center, and it just changed their lives, the wellness programs that we set up involving integrated health care. So that's the beginning.
Yeah, that's the beginning. And actually, I just want to introduce Norm is actually now with us. Welcome, Norm. I'm so glad you could make it, even though you had plane delays.
Well, more than a plane delay. It's a plane cancellation times 10. But
hi,
I'm
Norm.
Here. Hi.
Great.
Hi.
Glad you could make it. I'll just say a few words since we didn't formally introduce you before. See, Norman Shealy, he's the president of the Holos Institute of Health, which is a 501c3 devoted to research, education, and clinical services in holistic health. He was, in 78, he was instrumental in creating the American Holistic Medical Association, and he's done research on electromagnetic approaches to rejuvenate the body's production of DHEA, and all these breakthroughs in pain management, and he's got 13 patents and 26 books. It's quite a track record at the frontiers of healing you have, Norm. It's really wonderful.
Well, I'm glad we made it. It took them one of those days. Don't ever fly through Chicago in the winter.
It's good.
I know
good
that
wisdom
one,
right
Norm.
There. So
we're
beginning
Chicago.
To have Chris talk about how, starting to go beyond the conventional view of health and healing and beginning to integrate all other dimensions of our being and other approaches. And maybe you can share a bit more about what propelled you beyond a more conventional medical paradigm and into the work you've done.
Well, basically my work began with looking at people who had failed back surgery, which back in the late 60s, early 70s was the number one operation in this country. That was before coronary bypass surgery. And I was being sent 400 people a year who had failed such surgery. And I didn't know what to do with them, but I knew that drugs and surgery were not the answer. And so that's how it all began. I began looking at what else is out there, and what I've really discovered is there's a great deal more out there than there is in there in conventional medicine. Conventional medicine is wonderful if you have an acute illness. And I have to say, in my opinion, it sucks in most of the situations when you have a chronic illness. It makes people worse more often than it cures them. Chemotherapy kills far, far more people than it cures. That's one of the big ones. I'm convinced that high blood pressure almost never needs drugs. I'm convinced that type 2 diabetes almost never needs drugs. So, these are some of the big problems.
So those are great examples, and those are fairly provocative statements to a conventional physician's ears. So I wonder if you can just share how much you approach diseases like that with a more holistic paradigm, and maybe both of you can talk about it.
Well, obviously, at the top of the list is the patient's willingness to do what is necessary. Now, if the patient is not willing to do anything other than take pills, I tell them, bless them. It's like, if you're a smoker, I don't have anything to offer you. If you're not willing to quit smoking, I'm not willing to waste my time and energy trying to help you, because you're taking a poison that is stronger than anything anybody in conventional or alternative medicine has to offer. And with most people with diabetes mellitus, type 2, they're not willing to clean up their act, which means just eating sensibly and exercising, period. There is no need to have type 2 diabetes unless you are unwilling to eat properly and exercise. And if you're not willing to eat properly and exercise, well, I can help a little bit, but I can't help a lot. And the drugs that conventional medicine is going to give you are going to be infinitely more dangerous than anything that I have to offer.
Starts to move into the realm of the psychology of behavioral change, too. Maybe Chris you
well,
can talk
a bit about biofeedback and other such things.
Yes. I'll just add here that I agree with Norm. For 30 years, I've been treating high blood pressure with our biofeedback and wellness program, and just to use that as an example. And people come in on medication and just get off of it, if not decrease it exponentially. Now, you know, here we are teaching mind, body, and spirit medicine, and, of course, this comes from a fundamental shift in the philosophy of mental health care. And, you know, when I'm working with an alternative way of knowing, like Norm said, people need to be open to that and responsible, because that knowing, that is true healing, and that comes from the patients themselves. You know, we pretty much just facilitate the natural process of healing, and then that follows just nature's way of integration. So it's just remarkable how many people in our family medical center over the last 30 years have gotten off medication for migraines, have gotten off medication for high blood pressure. I mean, it just goes on and on. Reduce their pain medication. But, of course, as Norm was mentioning, they really have to be willing to alter their lifestyle and learn that this is possible, and it's free. I mean, they have these skills for a lifetime.
Now, what strikes me is that we're trained in this passivity by the conventional medical paradigm, is that there's nothing much we can do. We're just supposed to pop a pill from the outside, and so then it actually becomes harder for people to make those changes, because it's like learned helplessness in a certain level.
That's such a good point. You know, personal responsibility has sort of disappeared from a majority of people. Only 3% of Americans, a wonderful study done about 4 years ago, only 3% of Americans have the basic 4 essential health habits. No smoking, body mass index between 18 and 24, exercise a minimum of 30 minutes 5 days a week, and eating just 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Now, what's remarkable about that isn't an optimal amount of fruits and vegetables. The average person is only eating 2.3 servings. And until people take up those 4 habits, there isn't much else that anybody can do. You know, all the drugs in the world can, at best, give you complications.
Yeah.
How do you go about it? It sounds like you've had a lot of success getting people off medications and really taking responsibility for their self-healing. What are the steps that you think are most important for people to reclaim their power to choose healthier habits?
Well, when they come to see me, most people have already, you know, are desperate. They recognize that what they're doing and what has been done to and for them is not healthy. And so, in general, the people who are motivated enough to come see me are going to get my blunt Sagittarian approach and tell them right up front that, yeah, I can teach you things that will make you healthy, but you have to do them. I can't do it for you. Now, take the most common, in my opinion, the most common disorder, disease on the face of the earth, which is depression. Now, I can get 85% of people out of depression in 2 weeks without drugs. If they will do the basic work over the next 3 months, they don't need to continue doing the tools that I give them, the gadgets, that the electrical stimulator and the flashing light glasses, etc. If they won't do the 90-day retraining of the nervous system, then they're going to need that equipment for the rest of their life. Nevertheless, that still is a heck of a lot better than drugs. The best antidepressant drug is reported as being 42% effective, and it has a 25% complication rate. And there are 3 major papers published in the last 2 years that show that if all the negative result studies on antidepressants had actually been published, the net result would be 0 instead of 42%.
Chris, anything to say in response to that?
Well, what Norm is saying is very valid, and I know that in my work here and in my work overseas in post-war zones and now currently the past 4 years in Africa, that just by using the alternative methods that we teach and simple methods, the autogenic training, the temperature training for biofeedback, meditation, relaxation, this type of work is extraordinary in lowering their depression overseas and, of course, lowering it here in our family medical center. And of course, you know, we're living in extraordinary times. And, you know, I feel that humanity needs more than ever now all these acts of imagination. We need to evolve to become a different type of being on Earth. And, you know, when we have this kind of information available and these kinds of skills that people can do for themselves, that's incredibly empowering to their lives, and it touches out into their family members and into their friends, and society as a whole becomes more sane and happier.
So glad you brought up autogenic training, Chris. It is, in many respects, my most favorite approach, because if people will do that for 3 to 6 months, they will change, and they'll make them the changes that are necessary.
Say more about autogenic training.
Well, autogenic training was begun in 1912. First book was published in 1932. Six volumes began to come out in 1969 with 2,600 scientific references, and 80% of people with all of the usual stress diseases, whether it's peptic ulcer or high blood pressure or diabetes or what have you, can bring their disease under control if they will do autogenic training. Students do better, athletes do better, business people do better. I mean, it is phenomenally effective.
What's the best resource that you can point to for people who want to get some autogenic training for themselves?
Well, they can certainly go to the Internet, and the basic phrases are very simple, and they're certainly there. I've made a CD of this. It's 18 minutes long, and two of our doctoral students have gotten their dissertations, one of them working with fibromyalgia patients, striking improvement within 1 month, and the other one working with caregivers of chronically ill, usually terminally ill patients. And again, highly statistically significant improvement in their overall well-being just by doing basic autogenic training. I could give the phrases if you're interested.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, that'd be great.
My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My breathing is free and easy. My abdomen is warm. My forehead is cool. My mind is quiet and still. Now, you do each of those phrases for about 3 minutes and couple it with an appropriate visualization accomplishing what your words are telling you to do. It's that simple. And people who will do that for 6 months automatically began to have spiritual meditations.
What I found over the past 30 years of working with that is that it's very important to have the connection, either in a group or one-on-one, with these people and the counseling that goes along with the whole context of these skills that are being taught. I've found statistically in my practice and overseas the importance of that, that's very valuable.
Absolutely. On the other hand, for the very simple thing that if people will do it, they can make their own improvements.
Absolutely. They practice these skills at home, and like I mentioned earlier, they have them for a lifetime. They can share them with their kids and their families. I mean, I have a CD that people have taken home with them, and they practice at home, and then they hear tonally where they are in terms of muscle tension and anxiety response and peripheral hand temperature when they are in the office. So it gives them a start of giving them the feedback, and it's very empowering when they know that they can become their own medicine. They can change their physiology from the inside by letting go of how they've tried to control things their whole life. And this is just quite extraordinary, and people improve just from that alone, Norm. But again, you know, it's taking that sense of responsibility for themselves rather than, well, you know, going to any physician out there and saying, just give me a pill. Fix it. And
you know,
that's not what healing's about.
Well, you know, one of my favorite studies that's been done with what it initially was called autogenic feedback training, which was Pat Norris's work with the prisoners.
Yes.
She worked with a group of prisoners at the Kansas State prison and gave them, I don't remember, 6 or 10 sessions in showing that if they did these things, they gained control over their physiology, that they were in control instead of society being, or something outside them being in control. The recidivism rate over 3 years after they left prison was only 12.5%. And everybody knows the recidivism rate across the country is exquisitely high when you don't do that kind of training.
Yes.
It's amazing that you're studying, and I'm wondering, like, what does it take to get these kind of practices and trainings to be the norm rather than exceptions or, you know, something that's done on just by a few practitioners, but really is in the mainstream of how we approach all medical issues.
The only way go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying that it's the way we're living our lives today. I mean, with the increase in demands and constant doing and going, that alone is bringing in more and more people to open up their awareness, in the ineffectiveness of doctor-dependent technology, that they're beginning to appreciate the regular use of self-awareness and self-care and mutual help. And we have an increase, like Norm, you were mentioning, in chronic illness. That's just unbelievable now. We have failure of magic bullets. There's an increase, of course, of the information about all these different healing systems. And, you know, this is money. This is something you can learn and use for a lifetime.
And it's only the public demanding it that's going to change it.
That's true.
That's why a program like this is so important, because the people who sign up for this hopefully already are more interested in self-care than the individual who just wants to pop pills.
Yes. Yes, and their level of stress and sense of hopelessness, that's what I've been seeing so much of. And, you know, at first, 11 years ago when I started working overseas in these post-war zones, well, the sense of hopelessness there was overwhelming. And, of course, that was before 9/11. And lately, what I'm seeing just here in our country, I mean, we're catching up with that that kind of loneliness and sense of hopelessness. So we're due for a big change, like you said, Norm, and I believe it's going to come from a grassroots place.
Let's expand into some of the other areas I know you're passionate about. Norm, I know your recent book is on medical intuition. That's another place where you've broken some new ground in terms of harnessing psychic abilities, really, to improve diagnosis and identify deeper sources of medical issues. And I'd love for you to share a bit about that as a tool that is relatively new in the medical world.
Very important. As a matter of fact, I've done in the last year, I think, 8 workshops around the country on the whole purpose of medical intuition. Basically, what I teach in these is that it begins at home. If you are not able to clean up your own unfinished business, then you're not ever going to become good at helping anybody else either. So I quite mention to people that they've got to be able to know what's going on in their own bodies. They've got to learn when the body is telling them, uh-oh, you're stressed, it's time to turn it off. And so I teach that basically, and then those people who can learn to do that have the potential for then beginning to tune in better to other people without putting their own anger, guilty, anxiety, depression, etc., and foistering off on somebody else. They can become medical intuitives, but you got to become good with yourself first.
So it's a physician heal thyself kind of principle with medical intuitives as well. So I'm curious what sort of insights, you've worked a lot with different top medical intuitives. What are some of the core insights into disease that you've seen as a result of working with more the intuitive side of it as well?
Well, again, I think there are two major aspects of it. Number one is, in my opinion, all significant illness is karmic. In other words, I really believe that we bring with us into this life unfinished business from our previous incarnations. And these will then come up when we're faced with situations that raise the issue. So anything that I think is preventing one from being at peace with oneself needs to be dealt with first. And then sometimes it really does require, here's a place where I think you can't always do it yourself. I think this is, if I had only a single psychotherapeutic tool, it would be past life therapy. Obviously, I don't want a single one. There are too many good ones to restrict it to one. But a single hour of past life therapy can sometimes do more good for someone than hours in a traditional psychiatric couch, which doesn't exist much anymore because they just use drugs.
Chris, I'm wondering, have you used that as part of the approach in your clinic at all? Is it something that's part of your lexicon?
Well, I use it quite frequently, and I'm sure that you use something or similar, Chris.
Well, yeah, it seems, Norm, that there's so much just from people's childhoods alone that they're bringing into the clinic in the one-on-one, the groups, the couples that I work with, that really is just as important. And it's a lot to work with. I've also found, Norm, that with what you're talking about, some of the new approaches in energy psychology and just like EMDR, it's been shown to be effective with just past traumas that people are dealing with. And sometimes it's very startling to me that we'll be working on something that was hugely traumatic to an individual, and out of the blue, a story will come. Like, where does that come from? And it's probably, Norm, what you're talking about.
Right, and I think there are obviously other ways of resolving these things. EFT can be very, very useful. I think there's many roads to Rome, and we need to be able to look at all of them potentially.
Yes.
Yeah, so the basic principle is that there are sort of energetic or patterns within our system, and that those will manifest as disease at some point unless we deal with them. And so we have to go back to the roots, it sounds like, and be open to wherever those roots might be.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, for you, I know, Norm, you mentioned before you're doing some work with electromagnetic healing approaches as well. I'd love to hear a bit more about that, since that's something I haven't heard a lot about from other sources.
Well, of course, I got interested in the use of electricity to play, if you will, explore the brain back when I was in medical school. And in the 60s, I actually began working with alternative ways of controlling pain. So I introduced something called dorsal column stimulation, which is still around and being used worldwide. And there is a place for it occasionally. But I also introduced what's called transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. And that is more helpful for more people. Beginning about 15 years ago, I began to work with human DNA frequency. Every cell in our body has a frequency of resonating at 54 to 78 billion cycles per second. And we don't lose frequency as we get older or get ill, but we do lose amplitude or the strength of that frequency. And I found that if we either apply this to specific acupuncture points, we can do remarkable things, like we can raise DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone, which using that particular circuit, we can help 75% of people with migraine with no other intervention, 70% of people with rheumatoid arthritis who failed everything that medicine has to offer, 80% of people with diabetic neuropathy, et cetera. We can also raise calcitonin, which is good for pain control, but also your bones, keep you from developing osteoporosis or reversing it. And then we can reduce free radicals, which are, of course, the bad chemicals in every illness and ultimately leading to degeneration and death. But if we then have a person lie in the field of 54 to 78 billion cycles per second at a strength of only 1/1,000,000th of a watt per centimeter squared. Now that, doesn't sound like much. It is 1,000 times below any known risk level of these frequencies. So we're using really a homeopathic amount of human DNA frequency. What we found with that is, and we've got 3.5 years now of work on this, that the tips of your DNA, which ordinarily shrink, the telomeres, shrink 1% every year of your life under ordinary circumstances. If you lie in this field just 5 days a week for 30 minutes a day, it will allow the telomeres to regrow 1.5 to 2.5% a year. So instead of losing 1%, you actually regenerate.
So theoretically, that should extend life, or that would be the extension of that, wouldn't it?
That's what we're looking at, of course. I came up with this idea about 6 or 7 years ago that if we did this, we ought to live not 100 years, which we should if we had good health habits, but we ought to live up to 140 years healthily. That's the purpose of it.
I think Bruce Lipton was using the same number 140 years earlier. And I guess perhaps you guys have been collaborating around some of the telomere work you'd been mentioning that as well.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people are coming to this conclusion now that, we certainly should be living almost twice what the average American is now living.
Are you doing the treatment for yourself? So we're going to have you around until 140?
Well, when I wrote my book, Life Beyond 100, I invited a bunch of friends to my 140th birthday.
I'll be there.
Right. Well, you can be our pace setter. You can be our pace setter. That's great. Chris, have you gotten a chance to experiment with some of these new electromagnetic approaches that Norm was talking about?
Well, I have, Stephen. It's interesting that you asked that question because it was about 9 years ago. I had a health crisis with my eyes, and Norm was one of the first people to jump in and work with me. And he sent me, Norm, what was it? What's it called again? I've forgotten the name of the...
The Sheely Sheely Pain Pro, which I think you were using.
Yes, and I put the electrodes on, and I did this work. And here, again, Stephen, is an example where I was doing it myself. Norm gave me the instructions. But talk about empowering, and it really tremendously sped up my healing process with pain and my ability to begin to read and see again. I was core faculty at Naropa at the time. I had been working overseas with Jim Gordon and his post-war trauma. I had a very busy life, and I wondered, will I ever work again? And I have to say that Norm's work with me was just extraordinary, and it really... my heart just holds that very deeply as so beneficial for my healing process.
I'm wondering what the two of you see. What are the exciting things on the horizon? The new things that are emerging. It almost strikes me as both of you are kind of 20 or 30 years ahead of the mainstream of our society. You're already doing holistic approaches in medicine back in the 70s, and now you're sort of on the new leading edge. So it'd be interesting for you to share more about what you see as the leading edge right now so that we know where we'll be in another 20 or 30 years collectively, perhaps.
Well, my number one interest, if you will, passion at the moment, is what I call finding the holy grail for free radical reduction. Now, I can do that and get people to do that if they're willing to spend 21 minutes a day stimulating a certain group of 13 points in the body. Most people won't do that. So I'm going through every time I hear of a product that, just intuitively or otherwise sounds as if it might help that, I'm playing with them. Haven't found it yet, although I think I'm on the verge. Can't talk about it till I finish my latest experiment. But I believe that we're going to find a food or an extract of food that will actually reduce free radicals. And if we can reduce free radicals between 80 and 90%, everything else in the body will take care of itself, because the degenerative changes, the losses in hormones and all those things, to a great extent are cumulatively developed because of excess free radicals. Most people are walking around using the malonyl-aldehyde, which is a urine test for screening for free radical production. Most people running around with a 3 to 5+ free radical experience, if you will, day by day. And what we want to do is get it down to between 0 and 1. If we could just keep it down somewhere 1 or below, I think that would, everything else would follow. So that's my passion right now, and I think we're going to find it.
Fascinating. Yeah. I mean, so what strikes me about so much of what you talk about is how inexpensive medicine may eventually be. We're in the midst of this healthcare crisis and costs going through the roof, and so many of the different methods that you talk about really seem like they could be implemented at very low cost and not spend so nearly so much on chasing the end result of disease, which is so expensive.
I agree. And, of course, let's go back to the basic four habits, Steve. No smoking. Hey, saves lots of money. A body mass index between 18 and 24 saves lots of money. You don't eat as much. Eating 5 or 6 servings of vegetables a day. That's the best thing on our nutritional plate is fruits and vegetables. And I'm not a vegetarian. I think we need meat and other kinds of protein, but we need more fruits and vegetables and less of the other things. And then finally, exercise. And exercise doesn't require any money at all. So the four things that are most crucial to maintaining health, preventing disease, and just feeling good are all free.
Great.
Norm,
Chris, what do you see that leading it? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to comment on what Norm was saying, because really that is leading edge today. There was a patient that came in to see me with cancer, and his physician had told him that he had 3 months to live. And I started this wellness program, and the whole program was about those four steps that Norm just mentioned, and also relaxation. And of course, this person said, "I don't want to talk about food. I love meat, and I don't want to talk about exercise. I hate exercising." And you know, it just kept going on like that. And he ended up just changing his whole life. I mean, one of the things I got to him, which really softened him and allowed him, I think, to come back to the program, was I said, "Well, then what about your family?" And that's when he said, "Well, I have a son." And from there was a stepping point into him embracing those four steps that Norm just mentioned, the deep sense of relaxation in his life. And he went on to live for another 8 years. So, I mean, this is a man that came in for 3 months. And my program with him really lasted, I think, all of 12 sessions. And then he came in, you know, 6 months. He'd come in annually as the years went on, just to check on things and to get a boost. So, I mean, that's just one example of, and yes, that's, we say that that's cutting edge today. It is, but people have been doing this for thousands of years. And in another area, it's just like energy psychology, people have been using meridian points for 4,500 years. These methods have been used to balance their systems out. So we say, well, a lot of this is new, mind-body-spirit medicine, but yet, you know, we're really going back thousands of years of what really worked to stimulate the body's energies and facilitate healing.
It's more of re-honoring all these deeply rooted traditions and then integrate them mm-hmm. in a new spiritual context, too. Well, let's go do some questions from folks. If you're on the webcast, you can type your questions on the left or wherever the question box is. And if you're on the live line, just touch 1 and we can take some. Looks like there's a few already here. Lynn says, any strong intuitions about the causes and effective treatment of Parkinson's disease with dementia?
That's one of the hardest from my point of view. On the other hand, it has been demonstrated that CoQ10 in fairly large doses can be helpful. I think it's critically important to have certain basic nutrients, omega-3 fatty acids, adequate magnesium, which is true for almost every illness. And it is also well demonstrated that if people will take up increasing physical exercise, and it doesn't have to be terribly vigorous, but a minimum of 30 minutes, and I prefer an hour a day, that can help immensely in Parkinsonism.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, the other piece, Norm, is the inner work, along with exactly what you've mentioned, the sense of, you know, just like holding it is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be opened. So what is the gift for me? And that's something that I use all the time with the people I work with. And in the case of Parkinson's, working with some people, it's that sense of that drive and that pushing and that beginning to alter their lifestyles and become less, rigid about how things are needed to be done. So that's just an example of where we would go, where we would blend science with spirituality.
Sherry had wanted to know if there was any special advice around helping to quit smoking. She said she's tried hypnosis and has tried gum, but neither worked, and she has had a lot of success with positive thinking before, but it's just been stymied on quitting smoking. So any particular holistic approach you recommend?
Yeah, willpower. I mean, there's a wonderful, wonderful article published back in the late 70s by a professor of jurisprudence from Florida State University called The New Obscenity. And what he said was, the new obscenity is I can't help myself. And indeed, he pointed out that people who quit smoking, people who quit drugs, people who lose weight, et cetera, the vast majority of people who've succeeded at this have done it through willpower, and that despite all the popular programs to help people do these things, they're not very successful. They're not as successful as plain old-fashioned willpower. So I suggest that people practice will. I've made three different tapes for people to help them develop will. I think it's critically important that those above all else. Now, there are some acupuncture techniques that can help people quit. The French demonstrated this, 30 years ago, that if you would actually not just put needles in, which you could do, but inject a little vitamin B12 into four specific acupuncture points on the face and ears, 60% of people can markedly improve their ability to quit smoking.
Wow.
I've done hundreds of those.
Great. How about we get a question from live from Mara?
Hello.
Yes.
I was wondering if you've done work with mental illness, specifically paranoid schizophrenia.
I have personally not. I do not work at all with any kind of psychosis.
Okay.
The best person in the country for that, in my opinion, is Eric Braverman in New Jersey. Eric has a lot of good approaches with a lot of nutritional and supplements for that, and that really is one of his specialties.
Okay. Does he have a website, do you know?
I think you can find him on the Internet. If you look up Eric Braverman,
B-R-A-G-E-R-M-A-N.
Absolutely. And he actually is a physician but also a rabbi.
Oh, okay. Great.
Well, I'd also suggest doing some neurotransmitter work with, isn't it Daniel Amen, Norm?
Daniel Amen does work with the SPEC. And,
and he's on the Internet, so you could, look him up. It's A-M-E-N, Dr. Daniel Amen.
Heron says, what do you suggest as alternatives for chemotherapy?
I'm glad somebody brought that up. My favorite is intravenous vitamin C. I use 100 grams of vitamin C IV in what's called a Myers cocktail. It has some magnesium and some vitamins in it. And I've had very good success with that. Now, it can take 20 or more such IVs, but it's safe, remarkably safe. I had my first experience with this was 30 years ago. I met a man who had a cancer of the bladder the size of an orange. It was gone in 2 weeks. Now, it takes longer than that for most, but in the bladder, of course, all the vitamin C is excreted that way, so it gets a bigger dose.
Well, I'd also add, too, Norm, that group work and group support, community support, is very important in the whole process of working with cancer.
Yes, that helps them get through some of the hang-ups. You know, the best work, in my opinion, that's been done that showed that 75% of the people who died of cancer had lifelong unfinished problems related to depression. Hans Isaac, marvelous work. So, yes, all people certainly need to deal with their depression and or their anger. 75% of the people that have heart disease have lifelong anger.
Dawn on the webcast asks, how can I learn more about the 13 points that Norm was referring to?
If you go to my website, you can find in my optimal recommendations at least the listing of what the points are. And if you go into my archive newsletters, which you can sign up at no charge, I've got articles in there about some of these. The points are actually listed in my book, Life Beyond 100, but they're also the with sketches. But on my website, you can at least find the points.
Great. Melissa asks, what do you suggest for chronic fatigue?
Well, that's a great one.
I've worked with that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. My experience with that is it's a deficiency of immune function, of course, and it can be immensely helped. Here's another one that can be helped a great deal just by magnesium. Magnesium is very difficult to absorb. It's absorbed in the distal colon. And in our experience, it takes a minimum of 6 and up to 12 months if you get the right kind of magnesium, which is magnesium taurate, to rebuild your tissue levels. We're putting it on the skin with a magnesium lotion. You can do it in 4 to 6 weeks. And that's tremendously helpful for people with chronic fatigue. Also, the LIST stimulator, which is a totally safe electrical stimulator that you use on the head, is so safe you could drive your car while wearing it. And like today, when I got snowed in and I'm out of sync, I'm use the LIST stimulator. I'll be using it tomorrow as I recover from a trip that wasn't right. It's that safe. That used every morning for 2 weeks will help almost everybody.
Great. You're just a wealth of knowledge. And Chris, you had something you were going to add to?
Well, I was just going to say that it's a sense of your whole, of really looking at your life holistically as well. And, you know, using the approaches of, I've used just the wellness program in my work, and people have begun to take a look spiritually, psychically, of what it is that is going on with them, aside from the physical aspect that Norm's talking about. So that's very important too, to recovery. And to really tapping into your vital life force once again so that you have, you know, a vital life with more energy again.
Great. Norm, on the live line, you're
Yes, hello. I wanted to ask about multiple sclerosis. I also wanted to say hi to Norm Shealy. I was also one of the founding members of the American Holistic Medical Association and remain interested in theoretical matters, but I wanted to ask about multiple sclerosis.
You know, interestingly, I've long thought that Edgar Cayce was so correct when he called multiple sclerosis a case of the entity meeting self, and that's where he really felt that this was very strongly a question of unfinished business, either from this life or a previous life. So that's a part of it. Now, in helping people with MS, again, stimulating a couple of the circuits, like the ring of air and the ring of earth, can be tremendously helpful for people with MS. But more than that, there is a product called Alpha, A-L-F-A, P-X-P, Royale, R-O-Y-A-L-E. It's an extract of purple rice, and it seems to help boost the immune system better than anything else I know except vitamin D3. Mm. All people with MS should take vitamin D3, 50,000 units at least once a week.
Uh-huh. Or, yeah, I'm taking about 3,000 a day.
That's what I'd call minimum. you need 5 to 10,000 a day. So 50,000 once a week, it comes in a little 50,000 units, which is why I recommend it because it's cheaper. Works just perfectly, and it's quite safe.
I wanted to say something else, which is that I think that we now have we're approaching some proofs of principle from complexity theory about a lot of these modalities, and that needs to be, and I'm working on that theoretically, that needs to be brought out, you know. I think Hang's commentary in JAMA 2 years ago was right on, you know. The conflict between reductionism and complexity in biomedicine.
Yeah, those have been around at least 2,000 years, Norm.
Well, one of the things he pointed out was the studies where diabetics who had strict control did worse than diabetics who had not so strict control. This is, of course, allopathic medicine with insulin, but
right.
And also the idea of disease is a loss of complexity, which is... Anyway, I don't want to take up too much time, but I just wanted to mention those things also to give back something. And I continue working on these theoretical matters. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Norm. Great, so we just have a couple minutes left. There's still a lot of very specific disease questions that have come in. Maybe a quick one on any recs on healing psoriasis.
50,000 units of vitamin D3 once a week will do more than all the drugs in the world. But if you also take a good amount of omega-3 fatty acids, 3 grams a day, those two together, in my experience, reverse psoriasis a great majority of the time. Now, always there is the psychological, the spiritual component. But here's one where I've found great success in a majority of people without doing anything but those two supplements.
Great. Well, it's an extraordinary amount of knowledge you have, both of you, on all these subjects, and I can tell that if we were just able to put you in charge of our entire medical system, we'd have a whole revolution on our hands and save a hell of a lot of money and be a lot healthier and happier. So I really applaud you both for continuing to push the paradigm forward and explore new avenues for integration and healing. It's really fantastic, everything you've shared.
Well, I applaud you for helping to make this public knowledge, because that's what's really important.
Great. Well, it's always nice if people want to stay in contact with you. That you had mentioned your website, Norm, and what we usually do is if you would like us to share your email with Norm so he can add you to his newsletter list, and just touch 1 on your keypad or punch it in on your webcast as well. Maybe you can share about any upcoming retreats or workshops or anything that you got on the horizon.
If they sign up for my free email newsletter at normshealy.com, they will get my entire schedule. And the one I just put out this week on a Native American healing and how to become actually really trained well and even get into this at a Native spiritual way, we have 2 workshops coming up on that next year. I've had a huge response to that particularly the newsletter this week, and it'll be on the all of my workshops will be listed for all of next year very soon.
Great. And Chris, if people would like to be on your email list, they can just touch 2, and we'll pass that list over to you, or touch 2 on the webcast as well. Maybe you can share a bit about some of what you have coming up.
Well, they can go to my website, and also I just want to say that we have a conference coming up for ICEM in June, and that is here in Colorado in Westminster, and that is the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine, and that starts on June 23rd. And it goes through the 26th, and it's very close here in Boulder with lots of wonderful people coming and presenting, and healers, clinicians, lay people, researchers presenting. It's a wonderful gathering of very warm and very friendly people. And I've been was one of the co-founders helping Elmer Green start this in 1990. So we're 20 years now.
Great. It's a terrific organization. So, yes, I hope people can check that out. We'll definitely want to make sure to let people know more about that as we get closer. So, well, we are at the end of our time, and I'm so glad, Norm, that we managed to track you down in stranded Chicago there, because you were just a wealth of information. And, Chris, it was lovely to get to meet you and appreciate your wisdom and depth, too. So thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, everybody,
you.
And have a great evening and rest
there.
Of the year.
Yes.
Great.
Have a wonderful holiday season.
Wonderful holiday
Bye.
Season to you as well. Bye-bye. Great. So Bye. That's it. We are at the end of our programming for the weekend, and hopefully we will be doing this again sometime next year and with some more guests. And in the meantime, you have access to all of the free recordings from the calls that we've had. And if you would like to connect with other people just to chat after about what you heard today or what's on your mind, it's an opportunity to have discussion and networking. Just touch one on your keypad right now, and we can put you into some groups of four. And if not, I just want to thank you and honor you for honoring us with your time and attention, and hope that everything that we've shared this weekend is really helpful in shifting your own psychology and body towards optimum health, and so that we can all really make the maximum difference possible in the world.